So, Father, we just thank you for just another night that we can come together and fellowship and just pray for each other and just share what you've put on our hearts and revelation and dreams. And we just thank you for that, Lord, that you've provided the time for us to get together, and you've provided this means that we can come together and just be in one accord. And we just ask you just bless tonight. We just come against the principalities and powers that would try to bring distractions or any issues with equipment or internet connections or phone lines or anything like that. We just forbid that in the name of Jesus. We command everything to work perfectly tonight, and we just ask you just put on our heart what we need to share tonight, and we just thank you for just all you're doing in our lives and all you're doing in this conference call. We just ask you to bless tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, Lord. So usually we start off in prayer, I just had some family members on my heart this morning, my sisters and that, and I'm just, believing for them. And I just want to just pray for them that just have you guys join your faith. And if anybody else wants to pray for any family members or anybody that's on their heart, just bring it forth. We'll put our faith with your faith. And we all have family members that need to come to the truth and be granted repentance and a change of mind and come into salvation and come out of religion or just come out of the world. So Father, right now you've had my sisters on my heart, and I just lift up Kelly to you right now, Lord, and her husband Jeff, and I know you've been tugging at her, and so Lord, right now I just ask, Lord, that you just work in her, that you just give her just put something in her to just have a desire to open up the Bibles that she's got. And Lord, I just ask that you just give her a dream. You've spoke to her in dreams. I just ask you give her a dream to shake her a little bit and to get her attention and just give her a desire to just open up that word, Lord. And Lord, I ask that you just open up her eyes, that you speak to her through that word. And Lord, I pray for her salvation. I pray that you will just grant her repentance, just a change of mind to come out of the world and just to work in her, Lord. And I pray for her husband. And I just pray that you'll just work in him too, Lord. And I lift up my other sister, Kathy, and I pray that you'll just kind of shake her from religion and just give her a give her a hunger for the truth and take her out of the Catholicism and open her eyes. Just do what you did, is put a desire in her heart to seek for truth and seek the word, and we just thank you for that. I ask you just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. Anybody else want to pray for any family members?
Yeah, I'll pray for my brother Mark. We've had problems growing up together. He's always been the older brother type, but he's also, I know he's coming from a background I did, just like everybody else has a background that's probably a more demonic than we choose to understand or really take under control. And because of that, he has a lot of animosity towards me, and he resents me in a lot of ways for just growing up. And I tried to share gospel things with him. He just gets angry about it and mad because he's under a religious system, again, that's even more liberal than I came from. And that just because of that, I'd ask the Lord to open his eyes and shut down these demons that are causing him to be angry with me. And so allow him also to feel the love of Jesus Christ and allow it to be shown through his family and become the brother he needs to be. It'd be nice to have him as a brother of love instead of a brother of competition and hate. And I'd like to open my mom up. again, her, she came from a hard background, and she has a lot of bitter, I would say, unforgiveness. And I would like to see her come to the Lord and give that up and have the Lord knock on her heart more. And also, just about everybody you think about in your family has got some kind of a issue. They just don't have the full knowledge of God. They aren't trying to run after the Lord. They're all running after their life, and they have a little bit of religion. So there's too many people that can probably lay that on. I've prayed about it numerous times. But those are the two closest to me. And even me, I appreciate the prayers you probably everybody gave me recently just because I was feeling oppressed, and that kind of broke off. I feel it. I broke off the other day. Now I'm just tired, but not the oppression.
Awesome.
And yeah, you just, you know, I think we all are being exposed to a lot of things lately. The witchcraft, you're hard to comprehend what it's all about, but it's there and why, but it's still there. So and I appreciate coming here and being on fellowship with everybody on this. And just let you know real quick, I'm going to have to leave early tonight because I got to go to work early in the morning, unfortunately. But thank you, Lord. Thank you for everybody here.
Do you want to go ahead and pray for those family members, and we'll just join in with you?
Well, I guess I kind of did. Lord, take my mom and my brother and, you know, make them closer to you. Just break down these walls that they've had that probably come generational curses, for one, that's for sure. And they've had bitterness and resentment and anger all their lives, and they don't even realize that's what's running them. And it chases them towards the world and away from you. Lord, we ask that you bind this. I ask that you bind this. And I do, in the Jesus, I bind this. And I ask also, Lord, for your grace and favor on my family to take and remove these curses that have been placed on us and caused us so many trials and tribulations that are coming in our lives and keep us separate from each other rather than close. And I praise you, Lord. I know you answer prayers, and this is the kind of thing that pleases you. And we all look forward to seeing you with our family in heaven someday. In the name of Jesus, our Savior.
Amen.
Well, I'd like to pray for mine, too. Well, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I lift up my oldest brother, Marvin Jr., to you, Lord. He's, he's got a big farming operation, and he thinks he's the one that's done it. And he's got a little bit of religion, but not the true religion, Father, the true Christianity. And I ask that you take his blinders off, Lord, ever how you want to do it. And I ask that you bring him to that point where he cries out to you, Lord. I ask that you grant repentance to him, draw him to you in a mighty way. And I ask the same thing for my older brother, David. Lord, do him the same way. They both have good hearts, Lord, but they don't know you. And I ask that you draw them to you, grant repentance to them, and do a mighty work in their lives. And I command the blinders of Satan off of their eyes in Jesus' name. And I thank you, Lord, that you're going to bring them in. I believe that. I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to endure in my faith to see it manifested in Jesus' name. Now, I lift up my younger sisters, Alanette and Sue Ellen, and I ask, Lord, that you do a work in their eyes, too, in their lives. You know, you've done a little bit of work on Alanette when her first husband died, Lord. She came to you, and she accepted you, but she doesn't understand. Is not involved anymore in any kind of thing that I know of, any kind of Bible study or even going to church, Lord, any kind of church. But I ask, Lord, that you come to her in dreams and visions and turn her in a mighty way, Lord. Draw her to you, and, Lord, grant repentance to her. And the same thing for Sue Allen. Sue Allen, Lord, has been a school teacher. And she has that liberal mindset that, God is a God of, you know how she is, Lord. And I ask, Lord, that you just come to her also in a dream or a vision. And, Father, just turn her around, too. Show her your love. Show her what you really are, your grace and your mercy upon all of my siblings, Lord. Marvin and David and Alanette and Sue Ellen. And I thank you, Lord, for doing that. And Father, I lift up all my grandchildren, and I know you're doing a work in them and my children and my children's children. And I thank you, Lord, that you're bringing them in. You know, I've prayed for them almost daily, and I know you're doing a work there, Lord. And I just praise you for all the manifested salvations that's going to occur from it. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, anybody else?
Yes, I'd like to have you pray for my son and my daughter. My son did accept the Lord at one time, and I've tried talking with him a number of times, and he said he's satisfied with what he's got and all of it, and he's in salvation, but he's never gone further. And I've even offered to have a Bible study with he and his wife. And at first he thought it was okay, but then he decided no, because I don't believe the way you do. So, and then my daughter is very worldly. Her and her children, she's raised them to be very worldly, materialistic, and her husband is an atheist. And I'm just believing that me and my house shall serve the Lord. And I'm just asking, Father, for that we would come into that unity of spirit. We are a family united, but I want to see us all in that unity of spirit where we all declare the same thing.
So, Father, right now we just join our faith with Carol, with her son and daughter, and Father, we just ask you just move in them. You grant them a repentance, a change of mind. You just shake them, Lord, to cause them to get their eyes off, you know, their complacency, and to get their eyes on you. And draw them to your truth, Lord. And this false belief, you know, just accept Jesus and everything is, you know, it's going to be fine. This once saved, always saved. That just puts you into a place of complacency. We just come against that lie. We just ask you just expose it. You open up their eyes and just give them a hunger for your truth, Lord. Just do a work in them, Lord. And Father, we just thank you for the testimony to come. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father.
I'd like to just confess when I was being kind of oppressed, I really didn't have a lot of compassion in my heart. You know, that was one of the things I was fighting for, was trying to come back in more of a love for everybody else. And it seemed like that was what the war was I was going through, and trying to dissuade me and just push me in back into a worldly thinking and thought, you know, and selfishness and all that, trying to fight all that off, you know. It seems like sometimes I felt like I was losing that battle because I really wasn't being very patient, you know, with people or understanding or just kind of drawing back to myself again. Even though those were the battles I was trying to fight, I just wanted to say that was some of the things I was experiencing. So just to present that into the body. And so confession of sin, more, yeah, but also not willingly, but just being pushed that way. So and that was kind of the battles I was going against.
Yeah, I've been there, you know, where you just kind of, you know, you fall into that, you know, selfishness, you know, which is, you know, it's just the flesh just wants to rule. It just doesn't want to die. And you start losing, you start getting that hopelessness or, you know, just loss of, you know, just excitement or compassion. And, you know, the enemy is just trying to do whatever it can to get you, you know, he just wants us to give up. And he knows that we're a threat. And, you know, so there's times where I've fallen, you know, into that. You get into a trial, and it's just like, man, this dying to flesh is just too difficult. And, you know, you look, it's like, man, there's, you know, none of them are going through these trials and whatever it is. I mean, the enemy just tries to get you focused in on yourself and get your eyes off the Lord and what he's really doing in you. And you don't want to see the Lord in it. And you just, you think it's all you. And it's just a ploy of the enemy to try to give you to give up and go back into the world or go back into sin or do something that, you know, open up the door so he can bring more of his buddies in. And, you know, it's just mind control, witchcraft, you know, just attack on the mind. And sometimes it's hard to take your thoughts captive when you're under that. And there's just, when you got that heavy oppression on you, and that's really where you got to call out for prayer and just get some other people and you know, break through that stronghold. So, but yeah, I've been there. And sometimes we don't want to, we're in that place and we're kind of embarrassed to ask for prayer or, you know, whatever it is. You just like, you know, you need to, but you don't want to admit that you've fallen into this hole and you need a couple brothers or that to help pull you out of that hole, you know? So it's,
I think what I was seeing, like, this has been slowly progressing over the last few months. It was like, and David mentioned it in part of the group, where you felt tired and you couldn't, you know, at 8 o'clock I was whipped, so I had to go into bed and getting up early and just start getting into kind of a rut. And then you still feel like you're doing okay, and I was, but I wasn't able to make some of the fellowship meetings on the calls because I was getting kind of wore out. And then listening to Milton Green, which has been really good because it forces you to get back to the basics and just try to love God with all your heart and try to love your neighbor yourself. You know, that's the big focus. And so, and then realizing there's a demonic world out there, but sometimes I think the Lord puts this in your path in order to, because I felt like maybe I wasn't doing enough spiritual warfare, you know, because it's once you take it on and do it, it seems like the enemy's on the run. And of course, if you get some help too with the prayer, it helps. But up to that point, I think he lets you experience what it's like to have him in your face and be pushed on and pushed against, and not just by anybody, but him using others around you. I mean, and I had some pretty serious stuff come in my face, and I just thought, wow. But I realized it was all a test, but I was thinking at the same time, it was like the Lord, he wants to push you to a point where you're kind of getting broke. You know, you're getting brave. You're thinking, "Hey, I'm getting overwhelmed here. I can't do this. I can't have a hold on." You know, because it just would be like a few days of rest, and then all of a sudden, right at it again. You know, so it was a very unusual situation. But I don't think anybody is going to be able to not experience these situations, this pressure, this spiritual warfare we're coming into, unless the Lord prepares us now. And I have to be totally honest, and this is true, the lighthearted is not going to make it through this. Not that we have to be super saints, but you have to be able to stand on and stay the course. You might get buffeted and disillusioned and perplexed, but if you get thrown off and don't get back on the trail and don't get back on the road and continue down a path and see your goal in front of you and don't let go.
Amen. I think we just lost David. But that's so true. I believe that we need to overcome these trials so we can have a testimony for the people that, you know, are going to be coming into tribulation or coming to a point where we can, you know, share the testimony that we've been where they were, and the Lord has brought us through. So, because that's what I saw. Sometimes, I mean, there was a time, and this is all growing up in the Lord, but there was a time that we were under a real oppression of witchcraft, and we didn't know it was witchcraft at the time, and it was a heck of an attack on you know, between my Trish and I, and it was a battle. You know, at first I thought it was just, we have to die to our flesh, but I didn't realize that this was a witchcraft witchcraft type spirit. And we battled for a long time until we broke through that thing, because we were focused more on the flesh and dying to self and this and that. We weren't really seeing it in the spiritual realm. And until we came into that truth and went to battle in the spiritual realm, we were able to break that thing off. And I've noticed lately, and I think I've shared, that a lot of things that, we've had victories in battles over the last few months, we've been getting hit back with those type of things. And I really believe it's the enemy, but the Lord is allowing it to see, are you really set free? You know, are you going to fall back into judgment or unforgiveness or, those type of things? And, there were trials that we came through, and all of a sudden they're resurfacing. But something that we used to spend a week or a month on fighting, I mean, it was over in a couple of days. So, we're coming into more of the truth, and we're being sanctified from this flesh, and it's all part of that process. So, all right. Well, it looks like, I don't know what happened to Dave. I'll share a testimony. And, this was definitely the Lord once I look back at this thing. But And to show it was the Lord, what happened was, is I ended up, I ordered a couple things from Home Depot, and I had them shipped to the house. And what happened was, I got a call, and it was somebody, I don't even know how he got my number. I don't know if it was on the shipping box or whatever it was, but somehow this guy got my number. Because my number isn't listed here, and I've got an out-of-state number, so I still have an Ohio area code. But I get this call, and he says, "Is this Mr. Conway?" And I said, "Yeah." And he said, "Well, I just had a box delivered to my house, and your name is on it." And I said, "Well, where do you live?" And he told me where he lived, and I realized that was my first address when I moved to Tennessee, and I hadn't lived there in, and it was going on 3 years. So I said, he said, I can send it back and have them redirect it. And I said, you know what? We're going to be in a Bible study tomorrow on that street, and so I can stop there in the morning and just pick it up. And he said, I'll just leave it in the barn. Just go in the door and it'll be in the barn. So we drove over there in the morning. And I go in the barn, and it's not in there, and I hear him yelling up, the house, "Hey, we forgot to put it in there." So I drive up to the home, and I'd talk to this guy a little bit on the phone when he called me, just ask him how he liked the house and stuff. And, he comes out, and I'm just talking to him, and I ask him what he did, and he said, "Well, I'm on disability." And, the guy is basically my age. He looks fine. I said, "Well, what's up?" And he said, "Well," he said, "a little over 2 years ago," he said, "I was driving and I started having chest pains, and I believe I was having a heart attack. So I called my wife and I told what was going on. And she said, stay right there. I'll come get you and take you to the hospital." So she ends up, taking him to the hospital. He goes in, he walks in and tells him what was going on. And, they didn't believe him because he kind of walked in and, over the situation. And then when he told them the symptoms, and they rushed him right in. And that's basically what was happening. He was having a heart attack. So they basically tell him he's got a bad valve or something, could have been born with it, and he needs a triple bypass. So they scheduled this surgery. They told him that he would, be out of the hospital in 4 or 5 days. They pretty much convinced him it was going to be a pretty, pretty easy surgery. And he said he comes out of the surgery, and he said the first thing the doctor told him was that they lost a little needle during the surgery, and they weren't able to find it. And they did 21 x-rays on him and they can't find it in them, so they're thinking it probably fell on the floor, but they're not sure. And, you know, so he kind of gets hit with this, and then the doctor tells him, oh, by the way, he said, I cut one of your glands by mistake, and so we're going to have to keep you in the hospital because this gland is something with your fat, and if it doesn't heal, then the fat's going to build around your heart, and it's going to kill you. So they ended up putting him on a fast or something for 2 weeks, fed him intravenously and till this gland healed up. And so that ended up going from a 4 to 5 day visit to a 21 day visit. And so then he's sharing with me that a little while after that, he started getting this little lump in his chest. And so he went in and showed the doctor that, and he had, you know, he'd take him back in, and here the doctor had left some wires in him, some, I don't know what they were, but left something inside of him, and the body was rejecting it and trying to push it out. So he had to go back in for another surgery. So he goes back into another surgery, gets that taken care of, and, he said they got him on about, you know, 8 or 10 different drugs, you know, during this time. And he said a couple days after that surgery, he said he was he had his grandkids in the back seat, and he was driving through. He lived in Florida at the time. He was driving through this this town in Florida, and he said all of a sudden the muscles in his legs tensed up. It had like a seizure, or I don't know, not a seizure, but just something in his legs where all his muscles just tensed up. And what happened was he couldn't move his legs, and he had his right foot on the accelerator and was pushed all the way to the floor. And he apparently couldn't get to the brake or something, but he flew through this town at 100 miles an hour, went through 3 red lights, almost hit a car that was parallel parking, and ended up heading right for the river. And there was a huge barge on the east side of the river. And he knew that if he hit that barge, that there'd be no hope. So he ended up, he swerved. He said he caught a telephone pole. He launched 200 yards into this river. And he said that once he hit the water, luckily there was a fishing boat out there. And he said that when the telephone pole came down on the top of the car, it broke out the back window. Okay. So his grandkids, who were in the back seat, were able to crawl out of the car and get into this fishing boat without even getting wet. But he couldn't get out of his seat. And the car filled up with water and came up to almost his neck before he got his seatbelt undone. And I'm sure the airbag deployed or whatever, but he just couldn't get, you know, his senses together. But he finally was able to get his seatbelt off, and he floated to the back window. And he said he reached out his hand, and the fisherman grabbed his hand just as the car sank into the river and was gone. So he said they drove him to shore, and there was, you know, police cars and ambulances and everything there. They thought he was drunk or on drugs, and they were trying to arrest him. And he says, I had an operation a couple days ago, and I don't know what's going on, but my feet, my legs just, weren't working. And so they took him in, they checked him for drugs and alcohol, didn't find anything. And they released him. And he said, well, wait a minute. I don't know what caused this. And, they were telling him, well, we don't know either. And, so the bottom line is he's telling me all this stuff, and when I drove in, I saw a little sign out by the barn, and it had the Ten Commandments on it. So I said, are you a believer? And he said, well, yeah. And I said, well, there's a reason this package came to your house. I said, it's not. I said, the Lord wanted me here. And I shared a testimony with him about a lady. You know, I shared two or three testimonies with him with some miracles the Lord had done as far as, you know, healings that I was aware of, you know, somebody that was paralyzed that was, you know, healed. And I prayed for a lady who had a brain tumor and she was healed. And I was just sharing testimonies with him of some miracles that I've seen God do. And I said, I would like to pray for you. And so he was, and when I told him that, he tells me, he says, yeah, I just was told last week I got a brain tumor. And so I said, well, we're going to stand in faith. And it was awesome. So I was able to lay hands on this guy. I was able to speak truth into him, the gospel into him. I just, you know, shared testimonies with him. And, you know, so, you know, there was a reason I was there. But what I didn't, the amazing thing with this whole thing is I knew it was the Lord because I placed one order to Home Depot. They ended up sending two boxes out. One went to my old address and one went to my existing address, and I never gave them my old address. I don't even know how they got my old address because I never ordered anything from them before. And I saw that it was totally the Lord because there was only one invoice, and somehow they sent it to two different addresses. And it had to be the Lord because the Lord wanted me. Because he wasn't even supposed to be there. That's why he was leaving it in the barn, and they got delayed. And they forgot to put the package in there. I mean, it was just, there were so many things that came together to open up the door for this. I just knew it was the Lord. And that's what I'm saying is, when you're being led of him, he's going to open up the door for situations like that. So I told the guy I'm going to send him a book, and I'm going to stay in contact with him, that we're going to be praying for him, and we're just going to believe God's going to do a miracle here. So I want to lift him up. So, Father, I just lift up this Kevin that you it was a God instance that you just brought us together so he can get the gospel and he can get testimonies. And Lord, I just lift him up right now, Lord. And we put our faith together for Kevin, and we just ask, Lord, that you just draw him to your truth. I'm going to send him a book, Sovereign God. And Lord, I just ask you, give a hunger for that book. You open up his spiritual eyes. We bind up those religious spirits that may be in him. And we just ask, Lord, that you just work in him for your goodwill, Lord, and your pleasure, Lord, that you would just give him a hunger for truth, and that you just continue to open up the door. And we just come against these false reports. We just rebuke that report about a brain tumor. We just call that to whatever it is, that we command it to die in the name of Jesus, to just shrivel up and go in the name. We curse that curse right now in the name of Jesus. And Lord, we just ask you, whatever's going on in his body, whatever's going on in his heart, whatever, you know, the situations he's dealing with right now, just lack of energy and that you just do a miracle in him, Lord, and that he will know it's you. And we just thank you for his true salvation in Jesus' name. Amen. So God will open up the door.
Amen. You know, Tim told that yesterday at the Bible study. And I asked him, I said, where do you meet these people? He's told the story. Y'all remember the story he told about the guy with the ostrich leg? And prospector, that his brother was a multimillionaire prospector, and I just goes on and on and on, and then he meets this guy here. How many of you met somebody that's been through all that? I don't believe I have, but I'll tell you one thing there, Tim, that always goes back to what I read many years ago about doctors. 250,000 people have lost their lives. This was back in 2002, and this is just what was documented. 250,000 people died in hospitals in the U.S. now, in the U.S., because of doctors' mistakes, nurses' mistakes, medical mistakes. And that just goes to show you, this man here had a history of them. I mean, this poor guy, they're trying to kill him.
Amen. Yeah, I just, it's kind of neat because when I'm out in situations, I just try to keep my eyes on the Lord. And, I mean, there's many times I've gone out just looking at vehicles off of Craigslist or whatever it is, and I just run into these people, and they've got, you know, just bizarre stories. The Lord is tugging on them, or, you know, whatever it is, but it's just, I mean, just, there was a time where I was just out looking at cars and that, and everybody I went to, I was praying with, I was sharing the gospel, I was giving them sovereign God books, it was pretty neat, and the Lord just kept opening up doors, so. And that's what I ask them to do. I just know that it's the Lord. In that situation, as soon as he started sharing, I knew it was the Lord that sent the box there. And there was a reason for me to be there. And it was kind of neat. So in the past, I would be on an agenda. I just want to get there, get the box, and not chit-chat or anything like that and get on my way. But as soon as I see a door open, it doesn't matter where I need to be. I need to be right there. So that's what I've learned too. Because there's times where I've missed opportunities where I've I went to look at a car once and I got there and it was a total bomb. And I just called the guy. I said, nope, this is what I'm looking for. And I left there. And, I mean, I drove like an hour and a half each way. And I was like, Lord, what was that all about? You know, because I threw a fleece. If this was the car and I got a positive fleece and I drive out there and it was a total wreck. But I didn't stick around. I didn't wait for the guy to come. And it was like, okay, I get it, Lord. I was in too much of a hurry to get back, and you know, I could have stuck around 10 more minutes till he got there and talked to the guy. I'm sure that, you know, he would have opened up the door. So we just have to be patient. So, all right. Anybody else have a testimony or anything they'd like to share? All right. Anyone's.
Hey, Tim, how do you unmute from being muted?
I think it's star star. Does anybody know? It's either pound pound or star star.
Star star.
Star star.
Star star. Okay. Star star. Okie dokie. We were discussing that this morning, and they wanted to know how to get out from under it. So if you've been muted, just hit star star on your phone if you want to talk. Otherwise, go ahead and mute your phone.
Yeah, and if somebody can't mute. Yeah, if somebody can't mute their phone, let us know, and we'll mute you. And then if you want to comment or something, just hit star star, and you'll come back in as far as that. Michael, do you want to share that phone number as far
okay.
as with Uber for anybody that's new or wasn't on Tuesday?
Okay, yeah. If there's anybody in here that didn't listen, that wasn't on here Tuesday night, we have been instructed to change our number to this number. So from now on, if you can call, it's a local number, and if you've got unlimited on your telephone, or you can call in on Skype, we prefer that you call this number, because the other number, we didn't read the fine print. It's an 800 number, and if it's the only way that you can call in, that's fine. But they have told us that we are using way too much bandwidth on that 800 number, ever what it is, and that if we don't cut back, that they're going to have to drop us. And so if you would, take this number down, and if you've got unlimited on your phone or you can call in by internet, call this number. It's the same PIN number, but the telephone number is different. It's 423-464-6379. And the PIN number is the same. So if you would, if you can, use that. If you can't, use the 800 number. We have to get it down within their limits by April the 10th. So we just caution everybody, if you can, that's fine. If you can't, that's fine too. Go ahead and use the 800 number. That's what it's for. We just need to limit that 800 number as much as we can. That's it.
All right. So yeah, anybody, if you've got a cell phone that has unlimited, you know, it doesn't matter what area code you call, just, you know, please call on the new number. If you're calling from a home phone or you got to pay for long distance, then call in on the 866 number. And, cause I'd hate to lose this, this great tool we have here as far as coming together. So,
can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay, I wasn't sure. I tried to talk earlier. I must have been muted too. Like I said, I called in on Hangouts. That's an Android program that if you have a smartphone, if you don't want to use your, say, for instance, you do have limited minutes or whatever, but you can still get Wi-Fi access to your phone at your home. There is an application called Hangouts. It's through Google, and you already have a Google account. You just set that up, and then you can use it, Hangouts. Let's see what this thing is called. That's called Hangouts. It's like a phone dialer. And you can look that application up. And again, you can use that and dial in too. And you can still do, and then you're doing voice over IP. And it's the same as you are using the internet. Because I was looking at the internet, and like Skype wanted you to have minutes added up for like charging you to do it. And I thought this looked like this was a free way around it too, if you want to still use the internet and use your cell phone.
Awesome.
Did you say that Skype charges for theirs?
Well, they look like they wanted to charge me when I put that number in. I wasn't sure because for the 866 number, it must have recognized that as being a free call.
Yeah, they do.
Once I put that local number in, it came up and wanted to be that I didn't, so they didn't have any credit or money credit for making the call.
So
I started looking for. Start looking for something else, and like I said, if you have a smartphone, look up Hangouts, and you might be able to, or some other voice over IP program, you can still use a cell phone and use Wi-Fi and basically accomplish the same thing and have free call.
Awesome. Did you, you kind of dropped out. Did you lose battery or something on your phone, or what happened?
No, this time I dialed back in with my regular dialer because my phone is a voice over IP phone anyways. But I was trying the Hangouts program out.
Okay, you're just trying it out. Okay.
And it must have dropped me when I was talking. I didn't even realize that it was just it's a nice program, but for listening, it was really good and everything else. So, you know, if you don't really talk a lot, it's probably a really good program just to dial in on. You can still try it and see what happens.
Amen. Now, when you dropped out, I was just kind of sharing that. I just believe that the things we're going through now and overcoming and the trials, and, you know, you said it's going to be tough for some people, but they're going to need our testimony to make it through. So, you know, we can share with them that, you know, we've been there and this is what the Lord did, or, you know, whatever the situation is. So
I'll reaffirm this, that if you're not spirit-filled, anybody in this room is not spirit-filled, which I have a doubt right now, but if you're still not spirit-filled, don't take the time. Let us work through that. Get that going, because you're going to need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Even with the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's challenging. Without it, I can't imagine it.
Amen. Yeah, that's one thing I've been really trying to do a lot more of, and I've been just praying in the Spirit as much as possible. And when I'm idle or I'm working on, you know, something, or, you know, I can just pray in the Spirit. I've just been trying to pray in the Spirit more, and it's been pretty neat. So, all right, does anybody else have anything on their heart, testimony, or anything they'd like to share? Revelation the Lord has been showing you. I can share. The Lord had me this morning. I was sharing with a few people today that the I was really seeing the grace that the Lord has put on us and how we, you know, He takes us through different trials and to see if we're going to be obedient to Him, obedient to the Word, obedient to, you know, the situation, or are we going to justify or whatever. But he had me just thinking about when we first came to Tennessee. There was a family that had just moved in, and we became real good friends with. And they had a sense of humor, and they were people that were really a joy to be around. And we became very close and became friends, you know, with this family. And we started to spend a lot of time together. And there was a couple of evenings where we were fellowshipping until the sun came up the next morning. And now I look back at those times, and just to share, I mean, this family went factious, but I was looking, the Lord had me looking back on these times of sitting around and sharing stories, and I see back then that there was a lot of star glory in our conversation, but on top of that, there was also slander and gossip being shared as we were sharing of our past disappointments and our past failures and pains and things that we had gone through. And when we look back at who we were and we reflect on that, we tend to want to impress others, you know, with our accomplishments and with our achievements in the world. And we want to feel important or accepted, you know, in this, you know, this society. But at the same time, we want to expose the people that have hurt us or disappoint us, you know, along the way. And if we expose them and tear them down, we tend to lift ourselves up, and it makes us feel better about the situation. What I didn't know at the time was that there was spirits of pride and rejection operating in our conversations that were manifesting as gossip and slander, and we were all out of God's will at that time, thinking we were fellowshipping as brethren in the Lord, but at that time, I had not really been delivered yet of rejection. And this family that we were fellowship was taken over by that spirit. And the stories we were listening to was causing us to get opinions about people that we really didn't know. I mean, it was their family members that we had never met, and people that we hadn't met, but there was also people that were in the local fellowship that things were being shared with us. And through these stories, opinions were formed and judgments in our minds that against some of these people. And later on, the Lord ended up chastening us because we had formed opinions about people that were one-sided, or, you know, that was an opinion through the eyes of someone else, and that someone else was full of rejection. They had hurts, and they had pride. And we believe these stories to be true because we trusted the person that was telling us. But later, after being reproved of the Lord, we were shown the truth about, you know, the slander and what we were listening to. And really, slander is really finding fault in the conduct of others and kind of spreading criticism about that person. And basically what, you know, David kind of teaches that, you know, it's being an accuser or a diablos, you know, meaning a devil. And we became false accusers speaking about others because of, you know, pride and thinking we were better than someone. And rejection was tearing them down because we're dealing with rejection to lift us up so we felt better about ourselves. And the hurt that was in us through really hurt is unforgiveness was exposing the people that brought us pain in our lives. So everybody knows the evil that these people did, and we sort of feel kind of revengeful when we expose these people. And this was all based on feelings and emotions, and it was all based on the flesh. And when we do this, we are a vessel of dishonor. We are feeding the flesh and keeping that flesh alive. And we're speaking for the devil, judging others, and we're pretty much out of the grace of God. And the whole attempt of these spirits or this demon of slander and gossip is to speak against people, to influence someone else's opinion about that person in tearing them down. You know, there's no edification in slander and gossip. It is designed to tear down and not build up other people. And there is no grace, there's no mercy or faith for the person that is being talked about. Just critical opinions, just discord and judgment. And it is to cause you to form an opinion so that it, you know, it wants to take sides. And the person that's slandering wants you to take sides with them to kind of join their camp. And really that camp is the devil's camp. And it's not the Lord's camp. So slander is the doorkeeper to faction, because once you unite with that slander through your emotions and not having really the truth, you're unknowingly entering their camp and joining their party. And the enemy has divided you from the Lord as a judge, because there's only two sides in the world of Christ, or in you know, in this world, and it's Christ and Antichrist. And because of this faction, you kind of join a party. You're united by a common passion or interest. In opposing to authority is really what faction is you're kind of coming together, but you're opposing authority. And, you know, we've seen it in the ministry where it comes against, you know, David. But when you're slandering and gossiping, you're basically coming against the authority of the Lord and his word. And you're not in obedience to either. And when you listen to slander and gossip, you're joining camp, you know, with those people. And there's also people who are whisperers, and that's kind of slander in secret. They make you feel real important because they are sharing something that they haven't told anyone else. Or only a few people know about this, you know, only a few people know about so-and-so, you know, this situation. And I see, you know, it's designed to, puff up your flesh and build a special bond with this demon, thinking that you're special because they're only sharing it with you. And these spirits just want to cause division, to divide you onto them, into their camp, so you're kind of feel real close to them, so you can become just like them. And if you listen to them, you're taking in their evil and are guilty of the same. And you're pretty much contrary to the commands of the Lord. So, you know, we were kind of put in this situation, and I really saw that, looking back on this, I see the grace and the mercy that the Lord had on us, because really we wanted to be overcomers. When we, you know, over the years he was showing us about some of the stories we were listening to, and we were able to learn through our chastening that there is two sides to every story. And if you are not a witness to what happened, you are only listening to one side. If you believe what you're hearing and is being told through a spirit of pride or rejection or bitterness or unforgiveness, then the truth that is being told, if there is any truth, is being twisted because that person is speaking as a vessel of a demon, let's say, or a spirit, and in many cases have been turned over to the tormentor. So what you're listening to is the twisted, tormenting thoughts and perceptions that are in this person's head. And you may think they're truth because you like or have respect for the person telling you the story. But if you're not a witness, you need to be very careful about what you believe truth is. The less knowledge you have in a situation, the less truth you really know. The word says my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. The other thing is if you repeat these stories or lies, you become not only a slanderer, but a liar. And the only real truth we have is really what we read in the Word or what we have witnessed. And, you know, Romans says, let God be found true, but every man a liar, as it is written, that thou mightst be justified in thy words and might prevail when thou comes into judgment. So we were really learning that, you know, faction or division and lack of knowledge. I mean, faction isn't just coming against a ministry. I mean, I'm really seeing faction just wants to divide. So the enemy uses this to destroy the body of Christ. And this is what has divided the body for 2,000 years. Not having the knowledge of the Word, not walking in obedience to the Word, following or being respecter of man, listening to his lies and believing them as truth. And I was really seeing that this is what's happened to the church. And I was looking at it, and I was seeing that if a person's views or beliefs or practices line up with your views, belief, or practices, and you will approve them and what they talk about and accept them as normal or just traditional beliefs or thoughts or whatever it is, especially when it comes to God and, let's say, politics, because it's based on what each person accepts as truth. And when a large group of people have similar beliefs, then that truth is accepted as established and is considered conventional or traditional. And you conform to the belief and are convinced that what you believe is true. What we believe to be true is based on what knowledge we have. Usually the less knowledge we have, the less truth we understand. And knowledge comes from what we experience or what we are told. And our experiences can be carnal, you know, through our five senses, or our experiences can be supernatural through the Spirit. And if we're not Spirit-filled, then we're kind of handicapped trying to walk in the truth. What we're told comes through reading or hearing what other people are saying, but because we're not experienced, or we haven't experienced it, we do not know if it's truth, opinion, or a lie. We must trust in that person before we believe that person. If we trust the person that is telling us something, and we believe what they are saying is the truth, if we have no other knowledge, we conform to that view and believe it is truth. We typically gain our trust by how that person makes us feel. We are convinced by their title, if they have one, pastor, doctor, whatever it is. We're convinced by their personality or how eloquent they speak, their looks, their conversation, what they say their experiences are, and their compassion. Our trust is based on emotions, which is flesh most of the time, and not experiences. And we tend to believe someone who is older than us or has a higher education, but this does not mean what they have knowledge in is truth. If they've been told something by someone who did not have the full knowledge, they may believe it is truth. If we have respect for that person and believe what they are telling us is truth, then we fall into deception because that person we are listening to has been deceived. If someone tells us a story and it is based on their emotions and perceptions and we are not a witness to that truth, we need to be cautious in what we are believing because it may be contrary to the commands of the Lord, especially if there's other people involved. So I was really seeing that as we were walking in the Lord, that as we were being chastened and coming into the truth, I started to understand what slander was. And this family that we became very close to, one day the Lord convicted me to correct this person in the Lord because she was slandering somebody else. And I did what, you know, Matthew says. I took it to this person and I said that, you know, told him that basically what they were doing was you know, slandering, and I believe they had unforgiveness in them. And I was, because my heart was really for them, because the slander had turned into railing, and railing is just slander at a different level. It's just, I mean, it's got anger, it's got a lot of other demons involved in it, and so I was really trying to win this person over, you know, to truth. I was just trying to expose the sin that this person was in. But really what happened was this person was so steeped in rejection, and spouse was so steeped in rejection that they took my correction or my concern as me rejecting them, and I'm sure they felt a real pain behind it, but since they hadn't dealt with the rejection, they ended up slandering me. And through that, I did what Matthew did, and I grabbed an elder, actually it was David, and we tried to bring a deliverance in this situation, but it really turned into faction because this person did not want to be an overcomer. And I really was looking back at it was because they were protecting this spirit through their personality, through their, you know, the way they were denying and not really, you know, coming to wanting to, you know, deal with it, or the rejection was so steeped that they didn't want to admit that they were wrong, had a hard time repenting, was probably in, you know, had some embarrassment there, whatever it was. But my heart was really for this person. I just saw the error of the way, and I really believed that they wanted to be an overcomer, and I was really concerned. And it was a tough thing that I experienced because I love these people, and I was troubled by it, but I knew it was what I needed to do as a brother in the Lord. When you see someone sin, you know, take it to them alone, and if they don't hear you, bring a witness. And you know, our heart was really for this family. But I really saw how this group of spirits had taken over this person, taken over this family, and really the sad part is they had a child, a young adult, that was on fire for the Lord, and even when they started to fall away, the parents, their teenage, you know, child started coming to the, they still come to the fellowships and just, you know, praising and loving the Lord and stuff like that. But as this went on, they got pulled in, and I just saw how this spirit of faction and slander and railing will just eventually, it's like a cancer, and it will start eating at everybody that's around them because they want to get everybody on their side, and they want to come against whoever came against them because they can't be wrong. It's got to be somebody else. And they start speaking against me and speaking against David, and then they're looking for other people that are going to, you know, join their side, which is not Christ. And they start reaching out to other factious people, and, you know, what happened to you? This is what happened to me. And it just is a cancer that will take over. And you know, what this whole thing came into is there was a young man that was friends with my sons, that was not part of the fellowship, had nothing to do with the fellowship. And through the child of this couple was infected with this factious spirit, and started texting and them saying, "Oh, you know, you guys are, you know, your parents are in a cult and all these things." And I saw where this young man that loves the Lord, you know, he's not walking in the fullness, but he has a love for the Lord, a real gentle, mild type personality, all of a sudden turns factious and is just, you know, I mean, he was saying things against the ministry and David, and was like, he knew he was just on the websites. And I know who pointed him to that. And it was just, it's just, you know, I just see where the innocence of people through these spirits and not having the knowledge, not walking in the truth, not really understanding what the word says about slander and gossip and railing and, you know, just, it just takes out innocent people. And, so I just, it was something I was just kind of dwelling on this morning that the Lord was showing me that, you know, we could have been where they're at without the Lord's grace. And, but I really believe, I mean, we could have been easily pulled into that because we were at a place, because we were, you know, we were lifting up man over God, and, you know, we didn't have the full knowledge, but as we came into it, I mean, we, you know, we started backing off, but the thing is we were being chastened, and we were learning from our chastening, we were repenting, and I know they were being chastened, but I don't, you know, but there was just another spirit there that didn't want to humble themselves, repent, say that they were wrong, and I just saw it destroy a family. So I just, the Lord had, you know, brought me into that, you know, kind of thinking about that this morning, and, you know, we all need to just praise the Lord for the grace and mercy he's put us in to be, you know, coming to this much truth and to just, you know, walk in obedience. The other thing is what I really saw was there was no fear of the Lord in this family. They would rather be right or justify than fear the Lord. The other thing was when I was dealing with this, I asked the Lord for a word. He gave me an awesome word for this family. And basically the word was that if they didn't get it right, they were going to fall away. And I took it to them, and, you know, I was rebuked for it, and they ended up falling away. Slander, we got to be real careful. Listening to others, we got to be real careful. And I was really seeing, the Lord really showed me, because I was able to meet some of the people that were being talked against. I was able to meet some family members, and I was able to see a whole different side to the stories we were being told. And it was, you know, it was through the eyes of rejection, the eyes of unforgiveness, and it twisted everything, and I believed it as truth. So I thought I would share that, because it's just, it's something I can see that we can get pulled into, having respect for man, having respect for others, and lifting up man more important than being obedient to the word. Just wanted to share that.
Hey, Tim.
Yes, sir.
Along with those things that you're talking about, it goes criticism and judgment. Judgmental, you know, we want to be right when we criticize somebody, and we want to judge someone so that we can be a little bit higher up than they. But the Lord's very specific in those types of things too. So when you criticize somebody, other than going to those persons, you're in faction, period. And I thought I'd just add that to it, because sometimes we get pulled into that as well.
Amen. Well, you know, Ephesians 4 says, "Let no corrupt speech proceed out of your mouth, but such as is good for edifying." And that's building up the body of Christ. It's not edifying you. It's edifying the body. Because love knows no evil, you know, love doesn't speak evil. It says, as the need may be, that it may give grace to them that hear. And that's what I was really seeing is we got to speak grace. We got to believe for people. We just, you know, I was no better than them back then, but I just, you know, I was given grace, and I wanted to walk in obedience. I was given an opportunity to be delivered from that rejection spirit. But it took me being laid out with my leg taken out to have the Lord get my attention. And I was really seeing if we listen to a bitter person, we will become bitter. If we listen to a liar, we'll become a liar, especially if we share what they're sharing with us. And we really need to build up the body of Christ and not destroy the body. And when we're speaking against somebody, if we're telling stories about people, if we're, judging the people that don't know Christ, our family members, and coming against them, that's the devil. That's not Jesus. And that's just being an accuser. And Ephesians says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, in whom you were sealed into the day of redemption." And I really see where when we fall into those things, I mean, the Holy Spirit is not going to dwell where there's sin. And we're going to grieve the Holy Spirit, and we're putting ourselves in a situation where we're not going to have prayers answered and discernment and a lot of different things. He's just going to let us spew in the mud that we're kind of wallowing in. It says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and railing," which is all just evil speaking, "be put away from you with all malice," and that's wickedness, "and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving each other, even as God also in Christ forgave you." And that's really what it's all about. So we need to be swift to hear and slow to speak, slow to wrath, slow to anger. And walk in obedience and walk in love. And if it's for the brethren or if it's for the people that haven't been granted the grace of coming to the Lord that are without, we just need to have compassion for them. So we need to cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts us against the knowledge of God, and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and be in readiness to avenge all disobedience when your obedience shall be made full. And that's really what the walk is all about. So any thoughts on getting pulled into slander, gossip, disobedience?
Yeah, it's actually, it's very easy if you remember when you were in the world and listening to people, how easily you were led into those types of situations. And that's why we have to be very careful as Christians, because the word's very clear on that. That demon will jump on you. Next thing you know, you're out the door. So God has many verses against those types of things, and so He didn't want it to be done in His body. So I just thought I'd add that. We need to be in poor in spirit, don't we? And what is poor in spirit? That's a complete absence of pride and self-reliance too. So that's one of the things we need to kind of delve into.
Amen. Because really what happened with this family was Romans 1 and 28. It says, "And even as they refused to have God in their knowledge, God gave them up to a reprobate mind to do to those things which are not fitting, being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy or jealousy, murder, strife, deceit, malignity." I mean, he just goes through. It says whispers, where, you know, I just see that as just secret slanders and backbiters, which she says are hateful to God. And the amazing thing is these people, and it's not just this family. I mean, it's just the factious, the people that have fallen into this. They don't even think they're being hateful to God. They think that they're, you know, they're still carrying their Bibles around. They're still quoting scripture. They're, you know, they're doing these things, but they've been given over to a reprobate mind. And it really comes down to, they think they're good with God, but they can speak against others and they can rail against others. And Matthew 25 says, "Inasmuch as you did it unto one of these, my brethren, the least you did it unto me." So we can't think we're going to get away with it, with you know, speaking against others and think that we're, you know, we're right with God as far as that. But I was seeing where. I was just looking at just different scriptures, and the Lord led me to, I was in 2 Corinthians, and it says, "For I fear lest by means when I come I should find you not as I would, and should myself be found of you such as you would not, lest any means there should be strife, jealousy, wrath, factions, backbiting, whispers." And, you know, he's going through the whole list here. It says, "Lest again, when I come, my God should humble me before you, and I should mourn for many of them that have sinned herefore, and repented not of the uncleanness and fornication and lasciviousness which they committed." And and that's, you know, repented not of this uncleanness. And and the interesting thing is, when I looked up whispers, I was looking at that, and I was looking at some definitions, and one of the definitions, I don't know if it was in Strong's or that, it was murmured enchantment. And it led me to an orator of charm. And sometimes these people are so enchanting, so charming, so bewitching. I mean, they're great communicators. They're funny with their stories. They can, you know, really pull you into their beliefs just with the way they speak. And there was a great orator that fell into the first faction that was one of David's best friends and became his, has just written some just amazing slander and hatred and stuff, and it's just amazing. He just became this order of evil. And so I was looking up this order, and it says, "Is a person that's distinct from a professional lawyer, was hired as a professional speaker to make a skillful presentation of a case in court. His training was not legal, but rhetorical." And so they were just trained to speak. And and it was, you know, basically a technique of language to persuade and influence and please. And with excessive ornation and discourse that pretends to be significant but lacks truth. So they're just great to, you know, they're just hired to bring forth these you know, just this this word against somebody that makes it sound so convincing, or that they've got it so pulled together, and the person that they're speaking against is really messed up. And I looked up it was Acts 24. It says, after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with certain elders and with an orator, one Tertullus, and they informed the governor against Paul. So they brought a orator to come against Paul, and when he was called, Tertullus began to accuse him. So they're right there, they're the accuser of the brethren, seeing that by thee we enjoyed much peace, and that by the province evils are corrected for this nation, we accept it in all ways and in all places, most excellent Felix, with all thankfulness. And I saw that as just total flattery. You know, he was just flattering Felix, just buttering him up. And it says, but that I be no further tedious unto thee, I entreat thee to hear us of the clemency of few words. And, I just saw that as just using manipulation. For we have found this man a pestilent fellow. And right there, they start railing, calling him a pestilent fellow, and a mover of insurrection amongst all the Jews throughout the world. So, he's insurrection against all the Jews. So they're exaggerating the truth. And it says a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarene. And I saw they're trying to disgrace his character and his reputation, and convince the others that he's a cult leader of this sect of the Nazarene. You know, and that's the same thing that the factious do, is they just want to, portray you, come against your character, and all that. Who moreover essayed to profane the temple, on whom also we lay hold. So, they saw him as, defending the temple, but really they are spiritually blind, and they're lying against the truth. And he goes on to say, and we would have judged him according to our law, but they basically bound themselves under a curse to murder him, which goes totally against their law, or Moses' law, or God's law, because they had selfish ambitions. So it's the same thing that the factious do. They're just, they butter you up, they use flattery, manipulation, exaggerate the truth, and they try to disgrace your character and say you're in a cult or whatever it is. And it's all Diablos. It's all the devil. It's all slander. So all right, I'm gonna leave it there. I just like to kind of open it up. If anybody's got any thoughts they'd like to share, just bring them forth. Come on, Albert. I know you got something.
Well, good evening, brothers and sisters. Really taking in the spirit of the call this evening, just enjoying. You had said something that the Lord put on my heart quite a bit about being slow to speak and quick to listen. Just continue on. I'm enjoying you, brother. Yeah?
Well, this is our fellowship. I'd like to kind of throw it out, see what's anybody's heart and any thoughts. I just
one thing that comes to my mind is that when we're with our physical family, and I guess now's a good time to mention that, just because there's a quote unquote holiday on Sunday. But it's so easy when you're with your family, you know, to, you know, listen to gossip or slander or whatever about others and not think anything of it. And that's just one thing that just came to my mind, you know, and that is, I mean, and it doesn't even matter if they're, you know, unbelievers, you know, to even sit and listen to it, or even if you're not involved in it, you know, it's just not a good thing, because you start forming opinions, and in your mind you start taking somebody's side, you know, kind of like you were saying about earlier, you know. But anyway, that's just a thought that came to me.
Yeah, the thing is they are unbelievers because they're really not walking in the truth. And, you know, but we just, you know, you get around the, and I have the same situation, is that's what families do. I mean, that's their entertainment, is making fun of, gossiping, slandering. I mean, there's just a lot of that goes on, but we just, you know, we really can't partake of it, and we can't take anything that they're saying as truth, and we can't bring judgment against anybody. And because the Lord has showed us that many times, we've heard a story, we've taken a side, we believed it as truth, and then the Lord has revealed the other side of the story, and you know, we had gotten chastened for it because we were siding with somebody, and we just got to be very careful because this is it's more of a spiritual battle than anything else. But yeah, getting around the family is tough because I want to be weak to the weak, and, you know, and because I, in the beginning, I just totally separated from them, and they just saw me as religious and whatever. And lately, I mean, when I've gone back to visit and stuff like that, I've just, I allow the Lord to open the door. I don't go there to preach. I don't go there with an agenda. But if the door opens, which it does on occasion, I step in, and as soon as I start feeling the offense, if, you know, if I'm digging too hard, because basically all we're doing when we speak truth, we're just stirring up their flesh, we're stirring up the demon in them, and you know, but I'm really coming to the, you know, I've been praying to the Lord. There's just so much, you know, garbage on the internet, and, you know, people that just care with an agenda, or, you know, we're full of rejection or whatever it is that, you know, if, you know, fallen away, and, you know, they rail against the ministry or whatever it is. But the Lord showed me there was somebody that, you know, I told him, you know, I said, well, you know, you don't want, you know, be Googling David Ells or anything like that. There's a lot of garbage out there and stuff like that. And they were like, oh no, I've already did all that. And I'm thinking, well, they're not factious. You know, but he says, no, I met David. I saw Christ, you know, when I came to the ministry, and I knew that, you know, this was not Christ. And I thought, wow, that's pretty exciting. So if people are looking for truth, you know, you'll find it. But if you're looking for slime or looking for a reason, you'll find that also. So, amen. All right, anybody else?
Tell me, Joe.
Hey, Joe.
I just want to say something. I usually look at it as, if I'm just an illustration, if somebody comes to me and starts gossip about somebody else, and he's talking and talking, and if I'm listening to that, I'm accepting that. And if I'm accepting that, I'm sowing that seed in my land. Now, if I don't take that seed out of my land through repentance, that will start growing and growing.
Amen. Yeah, because the word is spirit and it's life, and that can be the word of God, which is, you know, manifest Christ in us, or it can be the word of the world, which is going to, you know, manifest evil in us, or, you know, feed our flesh. So, you know, David's taught that, You know, it's just it's hard with people of the world. I mean, it's a little bit easier, you know, if somebody starts talking about somebody else, if you're in a one-on-one situation or a smaller, you know, type situation of saying, you know, have you talked to, you know, Brother Joe about that, or have you taken that to Joe, whatever it is. There's ways of diffusing it. If they're a little bit stronger in the Lord, and you really see it as gossip, you know, sometimes you can point that out and say, hey guys, we're just gossiping here. Let's change the subject. And, you know, and you can shut it down, but you gotta kind of be led of the Lord. And, or you can just, you know, we can walk away too, you know, just kind of, not be part of that, you know, that conversation. But if it's people in the, you know, that are, you know, running after the Lord, or, you know, you really know are trying to grow in the Lord, you know, I've brought it to, you know, there was a brother that, you know, I think I've shared that was speaking against somebody, and I brought it to him, and he repented and thanked me for it, and, you know, it was awesome. But it just, you know, and that's the way it should be. If you're an overcomer, you're going to see it as it is, and you're going to repent, and you're not going to hold judgment against the person that brought it to you, knowing that their heart is the same as yours. And, you know, but that's the way it should be in the body. But if you're dealing with rejection, or you're full of pride, or, you know, whatever it is, that, you know, coming to somebody, the enemy will twist that as, you know, you're against them, or you're rejecting them, or whatever it is. And really your heart is love. You just, you know, you see them in sin, you see them in error. And, you know, with the world, it's just, they don't know. It's just weakness. But, you know, if you really have somebody that's, you know, running after the Lord, then, you know, they're going to appreciate you if you, you know, if you share that with them. So, all right. Come on, somebody's got to have some thoughts, some revelation that the Lord's shown them. What do you got, Michael?
Not much. I was just reflecting on what you said about walking away and from somebody that's doing that. When you do something like that, you get their attention. When I first was in with David, he did that to me a couple of times when I was bringing to, you know what so-and-so did? I'm telling you the truth, David, you ought to get, you know. And he just turned around and walked off and left me hanging. And I'm thinking to myself, oh my. So I had to repent. And once you do that a couple of times, or even one time, most of the time it just takes one. Some of us it takes a little bit more. But they will get the message real clear that you're not into that and you're not going to put up with it. That is, to me, stopped me from criticizing or bringing somebody up, you know, that I shouldn't have been doing. So anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up. Just walk away from them. Boy, I'll tell you what, my goodness.
Well, the thing, I mean, it's your race. And, I mean, if you're taking something in that you know you shouldn't be taking in, and, you know, I was in situations when I was back in Ohio where I'd, you know, be on, you know, a construction site and, you know, the guys would be talking lustful things or whatever it was or stuff I really didn't need to hear. I would just walk away. And I didn't care what they thought. I just didn't want to deal with the imagination or just whatever. It was just when it was going downhill fast, I just tried to, you know, just kind of walk away and or say, hey guys, can we change the subject? If they continued on, I would just walk away. So, you know, it's just, and they might think you're a dud or whatever it is, but it really doesn't matter. It's your race. It's your walk. And, you know, you need to be in obedience, and, you know, you can't have fear of man. understand or what others think or anything like that. You just gotta be in obedience. And I found that, you know, unless they're really running after truth, you can't correct a fool. If you try to bring correction, if they got a religious spirit on them or whatever it is, you know, Proverbs 17 says, an evil doer giveth heed to wicked lips, and the liar giveth an ear to a mischief tongue. You know, evildoers do not follow the word. And if you listen to a slander or a railer, or if you listen to lustful talk or whatever it is, I mean, it's just you're kind of joining in with them. And that's something that, or, you know, if you think you got to join in with the conversation, just add your two cents or whatever it is, and, you know, you're just wrong. And I really see where, you know, evildoers, you know, they heed the wicked lips, and liars give it ears to the mischievous tongue. I mean, with this faction thing, you really see that people that really didn't see eye to eye, let's say, or knew that somebody was, you know, dealing with some, whatever it was in the fellowship, when they felt factious, man, they became best friends. And, you know, the old thing, the birds of a feather flock together. It was just amazing. And so it goes on and says, whoever mocketh the poor reproaches maker, he is glad at calamity and should not be unpunished. So people that are, you know, happy to destroy others, the Lord say, are not, you know, they're not going to go unpunished. So it says that he that covers a transgression seeketh love, but he that harpeth on a matter separate the chief's friends. So, you know, factious people tend to just harp on matters, and their whole thing is to separate friends. So, you know, it's just a spirit. It's not them. That's what we have to see it as, is they do not have the knowledge, or if they have the knowledge and they're walking in total disobedience. But most of the time, what we're dealing with is total spirits that are on these people. And it's probably rooted in rejection. It's probably rooted in unforgiveness. I mean, there's other things there that have got them to the point where they feel they need to tear others down and not edify, to feel better about themselves. And we just can't partake in any of that. So, you know, so it's kind of what I was sharing was something the Lord was really showing with me. Just, you know, we just can't partake in that. And we have to have grace for others and you know, just believe for others and have faith for others and pray for others and not partake in what the Lord has showed us that is wrong. And, you know, most people don't know it's sin. They don't know what they're doing is gossiping and whatever it is. But for us that are, you know, coming into, you know, more of a full knowledge, we know that it's wrong, and we just can't get pulled into friendships being more important and obedient to the Lord. So, but because he'll give us grace. So. But, all right, does anybody need prayer or anything before we close out tonight? Or does anybody have any last thing on their mind? Well, all right.
Yeah, let's do something here. Let's pray against this, this spirit, Tim, if you would, pray against that criticism, judgmental, faction, all of that stuff. Pray against it for all of us.
Okay. All right. And if anybody wants to join in, if anything's in their heart, just, you know, bring it forth. So Father, come to you, and, you know, this is kind of a sobering message, and we've all fallen into it. We've all, you know, gotten involved in gossip and slander and Lord, we just, we know it's a spirit, and we know it's Diablos, we know it's the devil, we know that it's the enemy wants to divide, we know it's faction, we know it's, we come into this, but sometimes our flesh, we're just not quite dead to our flesh, and sometimes we have fear of, just being accepted of man, or maybe we're dealing with something. So, Father, we just come against these principalities and powers of bitterness and faction and slander and railing and speaking against others and tearing others down instead of lifting them up, and we come against these spirits that want to, get us critical, want to get us into judgment, want us to see people in the flesh and not in the spirit, and wants to judge the flesh and judge people judge people that are without. And Father, we just rebuke these spirits in the name of Jesus, and we forbid them to manifest in this fellowship. And we forbid them to, just to take hold in our lives. And right now, Lord, if this has brought conviction on anybody, we just ask you, just grant them repentance, Lord, to, Father, change their ways, change your mind, walk in agape love, and just allow them to just see people in the spirit and to just have the love for these people, have compassion for these people, and just have faith that, they can pray for these people and that you're going to change them and they don't need to get critical and that. So, Father, we just thank you for just working in our hearts, Lord. We want to be well-pleasing to you. We want to have your will and not our will. And we just come against, just any unforgiveness to be exposed, any bitterness, anything that's there to be exposed in us, Lord, where we tend to, want to get into judgment, Lord. And Father, we want to be delivered of that. And so, Father, right now, we just ask you just, set your people free. And we call rejection to go and these bitter spirits to go in the name of Jesus. And Father, we just ask that you just, love is from you, agape love is from you. We just ask you just fill us all with your love. Just refresh our spirit. Just allow us to see people as you see them and not as our flesh sees them. Allow us to have love for others, to walk in love, to forgive our enemies, to love our enemies, and just to show the love of Christ, Lord. So fill us fresh with your love. Just refresh our spirit, Lord. Help us to walk in obedience to you. And we just thank you for just, just this truth, Lord, and to be well-pleasing to you. And Lord, we just thank you for that. Just guide and direct us in these days to come, Lord, and give us just a hunger for your truth, Lord, to walk in obedience, Lord. We just thank you for just all that you're doing in our lives. We thank you for just working in our families and the people we're praying for, Lord, to bring them into the fullness of you, Lord. We just thank you for the revival that's coming, that you're just gonna bring multitudes in and to be excited for you and truth, and we just thank you for that, Lord. You grant them repentance, Lord. You just bless your conviction on them and just open their eyes from the lies that they're under. So, Lord, we just thank you for all this. Bless everybody's week this week, Lord. Just continue to give them a hunger for your word, Lord. Just open their spiritual eyes and speak to them through the word. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, good night, everybody. It was kind of a sobering night, but we love you. And we'll see you next week.